This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Tucked away in a storefront museum in Avondale on the city's northwest side, you can find scores of beetles and butterflies, a giant tegu lizard, and a taxidermied giraffe. What is this place, you're asking? Well, it is the Insect Asylum, a small community zoology and entomology museum. All summer, we've been visiting museums that are off the beaten path, so niche places that are dedicated to pinback buttons, gemstones, and the history of surgical science, just to name a few. Obviously, an asylum for insects had to be on that list, too. Reset producers Ari Mejia and Linnea Dominic went to check it out. So we had them in the studio to share their experience and bring us inside the museum. I asked Ari, what is this museum exactly?
It is a museum. It also is a community center. It houses upwards of 5,000 different species of insects, animals, in a storefront.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. But I gotta be honest, I experienced this place as a portal to another world. I know it sounds wild, but it was, we're going deep. What happens is it's a very immersive experience. You truly enter into another world through what's inside the space. We spoke with the founder, Nina Salem, she's an artist. They're a collector. They call everything inside the museum a personal collection of 30 years of autistic curiosity.
Oh, and what does that mean?
She was amazing.
She was.
She was so lovely. And she's such a curious person, very open.
Yeah.
And she set up the museum in this way that does create like an exploratory experience. She talked about being having hyper focus, the way she hones in and follows a curious thread, no matter how strange, without judgment. This is how she set it up. And so you meander through this space into your own deepest, imaginative, curious space.
Interesting. So we've got a lot of insects, Linnea. Mm-hmm. But what else is going on in this space that you can meander through, as Ari puts it?
Totally. I mean, meander is absolutely right. But it's also small. Like, it's a small space and it's super jam-packed. There is so much for the eye to see. On one wall, there's all of this moss covering, this installation with records in it. There's also an homage to the late Steve Irwin, an Australian conservationist, with pinned butterflies sort of spread around his face. And there's also antiques. There's like old overstuffed couches, there are old coffee cans, typewriters, old cameras, record players. Here's a little bit of why Nina chose to design the place this way.
Do you remember stumbling upon a yard sale when you were a kid and finding an old piece of technology that you just thought was like the bee's knees and like you wanted to understand it, and it came from a different set of rules and a different walk of life, and it just had like a beautiful energy to it that you couldn't quite describe? I want people to feel that way when they come into this space.
I love that. She just took me back to every yard sale I ever went to when I was a kid, and the time I found a Discman.
Ooh, the Discman. Yes, great find.
Exactly. So there are also taxidermied animals there, Linnea. I don't want us to miss that point.
Oh, there are many. So Nina was telling us that she got into taxidermy when she was 7 years old. I know, pre-Google, pre-YouTube. She went to the library and found books. She taught herself to do taxidermy. And the first piece she did, a little squirrel, is there. You can see it. And there are deer, antelope-looking creatures, but this animal really takes the cake. It's like a 7-foot-tall giraffe. Oh my gosh. Beautiful.
It's like bust to through neck to head.
A taxidermy giraffe.
A taxidermy giraffe. And she had neighbors weigh in on what it should be named.
I love this.
Winning name, Long John.
Of course.
I know.
Of course.
There are also live animals. There's a pair of mated doves, Stella and Sol. There are lizards. There's a giant tegu lizard. Like you said, his name is Toshi. Okay. And he wanders around. So like he was underneath the couch when we were there, but she pulled him out and was holding like a puppy and I got to touch him. He was a really interesting texture, but very sweet, very long tongue.
Beautiful black and white stripes.
Yeah, very gorgeous.
That's the moment I might have been a little frightened.
Yeah, so I think one thing that Nina said, she understands that these interests might be seen as strange by some people. And she said when she was younger, she was definitely shunned for it, along with for being autistic. And she said she hid herself because she wanted to make people feel comfortable, but she's not doing that anymore. And she says, absolutely not in this space. And so this is really a haven for people with unconventional interests and for people who have hyper-focus. So she really wants us to be a place where people can come and thrive.
Yeah. So when she told us that, I did cry, full disclosure.
Oh,
yeah. It was very beautiful.
You also met Pamela Grant. Now, Pamela traveled to the insect asylum from Wisconsin with family. Let's listen.
I love possums. I came here last year on my birthday and I got to hold Hazel. It was one of the best things ever. And she sat on the couch with me and my best friend and she kind of cuddled with us. I just really find them intriguing and I see them around the neighborhood, but I can't grab them and hug them like I can with Hazel. So yeah, I think it's just a really unique experience and there's so much else cool to see here that's just not something you see every day. So I love an oddity shop. I love a possum. It's my birthday.
Thank you. It's your birthday today?
Yesterday. So thank you.
It's kind of like an annual birthday trend.
Yeah, it's becoming that. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. It's the names that are getting me.
Hazel and Opal.
Come on.
Also, there were doves, Luna and Sol.
Right. So, I mean, to our earlier point, Linnea, I mean, you know this. I definitely am wondering about folks who are not big fans of bugs, right? You know that I am not one of them.
I know that.
I've said it on this show.
No.
Possums, not on my list of fun things either. I mean, should we stay away from this museum?
I don't think so. I think she's really built this space to encourage curiosity and wonder. And a really important piece is that there aren't insects flying around in your face. And she's really hoping that this place can inspire people to think a little bit beyond the fear and the role that these insects play in the ecosystem. Here's Nina.
Some of the animals that are here are maybe scary or intimidating. By giving people the opportunity to come in and view them and look at them up close and personal without the threat of them jumping or landing or flying on them is going to give them the opportunity to see them in a different lens, which might change their perception as a whole about how they feel about that animal or insect.
Yeah, I like that. Seeing it behind the glass for me would make the difference. Now, Ari, how are the insects displayed?
They're on tables, they're on walls, they're pinned to walls, like the Steve Irwin Shrine. Mm-hmm. They're in glass cases. And this is also where we learned this on the spot, pinning versus spreading. Mm-hmm. So pinning an insect or a specimen is when you take, and there's different gauges depending on the size of the insect, is when you just pierce it through for preservation. But spreading is when you then may take the wings or the antennas or the legs to animate the bug and like to experience it in flight or in motion.
I see.
And so many colors, every color you can imagine, it's there.
There were these beetles that was like striped, aqua, and then like teal. And then there was another one that was almost purpley and had these legs that
iridescent.
Looked like iridescent.
You, you showed me a photo you took of, I think, a butterfly in your hands. And it was like burgundy. Yeah. It was like really like a beautiful wild wine red. Mm-hmm. Love that.
No. And this really, as I was in there, and of course, like interacting with taxidermy, sure. But also I just think like the way that everything was like animated and alive, but also quite not alive, had me just thinking about my own relationship to death and intrigue in being able to interact with that.
Yeah.
And I asked her that. I was like, I'm curious, you know, what is your relationship to death like? Or like, how does that come into how you curated this or think about how things are displayed? And this is what she said.
So here in this space, I don't want people to feel like death is a bad thing, because it's not. It's so beautiful. And so when we preserve these animals and insects, not only are we creating an opportunity to educate and to learn, but we're creating new life within that death, because these animals now have the capacity to live a full second life in their journey.
Wow.
I know. This really touched
you
me.
You said it earlier. You said we were going to go deep. Yeah. And we went deep.
We went deep. It's a deep place. I think it's when you're so in touch and connected to your mission and vision. And again, curiosity, imagination, but also like that.
Well, I'm intrigued. Tell us one thing, though, that someone should not miss if they visit the museum. Linnea?
Long John.
the taxidermy giraffe. I don't think we can miss it.
I don't think so.
Like, is there a way that we can miss?
He's so tall. In a corner. He's so tall. But I had a moment, and I really encourage everyone listening to also meet Long John.
Yeah. What's your
thing?
I'll
just say, okay. So the gift shop is also incredible too. I think she said 70 artists.
Yeah, I think so.
And one of them was an artist who grows crystals on the bugs or on shells, these like full mm-hmm. beautiful crystals on a butterfly.
I can't even picture that.
I know, I'm shaking thinking about it. It's so beautiful. I'll show you a picture.
So like a bedazzled butterfly?
Basically. Natural bedazzled.
Wow, that's incredible. We've been talking with Reset producers Linnea Dominic and Ari Mejia. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
The Insect Asylum is on Milwaukee Avenue in Avondale. It's open Wednesday through Sunday from 3 to 8. Tickets are $25 for adults, $18 for seniors and students, $15 for kids. And oh, if you are under one and you're listening, you get in for free. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and Ari Mejia, and it was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari. Reset catches up with culture makers. If this sounds like what you're looking for, make sure to check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely